The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thanks for listening to the Too Many Men podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the final episode, the fifth planned episode of the Too Many Men podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Vez, as always, alongside Joshua Safe. And before we start, we would like to give you an exciting piece of news. April 15th, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., we're going to be having an extra sixth episode that is going to be a live show on Spirit Live for a whole hour.
Mark your calendars. It's going to be exciting. This is our first live show. We've done podcasts before, but this is a new experience for us, so it's exciting, and you guys won't want to miss it.
Now, with that being said, both of us are coming off a long night of schoolwork for the sport media program. Honestly, feeling pretty tired, a little bit drained, but likely not as tired and drained as the Toronto Maple Leafs fan base. As many of you know, over the last 2 weeks, Josh has been having his fair share of complaints about the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are set to miss the playoffs for the first time in 9 years. So today we've set up a little therapy session. It'll be a little bit of a different format than you're used to. Essentially, Josh is just going to be able to let out all of his internal anger about the Toronto Maple Leafs. We will discuss a little bit about why it's happened, but more than anything, this is for all the Leafs fans in the city. This is your venting session through the mouth of Josh.
And man, I really needed this. I needed an outlet. Because one of my roommates, he's a Sens fan, so whenever I complain to him about the Leafs, he always just laughs in my face. So this will be nice. Should we just get right into it then?
Go for it.
All right. Well, my first big thing, even going into this season, looking at the roster, my first big complaint was just the Leafs' lack of direction. So at the start of the season, if you look at all the players, you're like, okay, this team is not really getting any younger. And you're looking at some of the things that we're doing to bring younger guys in, and it's non-existent. You look at our draft stock, it's not there because we're trading everything away for a bunch of bums. But I'll get a little more to that later. But for now, if we look at the Athletic, so the Athletic releases every year a ranking of each team's prospect pool, and they rank them like 1 to 32 for each team. Do you want to take a guess at where the Leafs ranked this year?
I would assume at least in the bottom 10, maybe the bottom 5, because I've seen some people putting them down there pretty low, and obviously when they got rid of a guy like Fraser Minton last year, I can only imagine it took a hit. So I'll guess somewhere in the bottom 5.
You'd be correct. So they're not quite the worst, even though I think some people do have them ranked the worst, but the Athletic has ranked them 29th in their prospect pool. Now, the team already sucks right now, right? Like, they're at the bottom, near the bottom of the Eastern Conference, at the bottom of the Atlantic, right? This team sucks right now, and according to the Athletic, their depth, we're going to suck for years to come, right? And the thing that we've done is that we've committed too much to the Core 4 era, and with no success to back it up. See, if the Core 4 actually produced something and gave me something to look at and be like, this is why we committed so much to them, I would have understood. But as of this season, so the Core 4 era started, I guess, since 2018-19 when John Tavares signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs. They've made it past the first round twice, and no further than that. So let's just take a look at some of their recent playoff series in the Core 4 era. So in the 2018-19 season, lost to Boston in the first round in game 7. 2019-20 season was that disgusting bubble year where we didn't really even make it into the playoffs, where we lost in the qualifying round to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Then in 2020-2021, I'm sure, Matthew, you remember this quite well. The Leafs looked to me moving on to the second round for the first time in a while, but they blow a 3-1 lead to your Montreal Canadiens. That one hurt a lot. Then we move on to 2021-2022, lost in the first round to the Tampa Bay Lightning in 7. These game 7s have just been killing us. So it's been, 4 years of the Core 4 and still no second round. Finally, in 2022-23, they kind of get the monkey off their back, and they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in 6 games and then get absolutely demolished in 5 games by the Florida Panthers. And that was a series I remember when we beat the Lightning and the Panthers beat the Bruins. I was like, there's no way we're losing to this bum squad that just barely snuck by the Bruins, probably by a fluke, we all thought. And then they go on that nice little run. But so that's out in 5 games in 2022-23. Then in 23-24, we're thinking, okay, we've made it to the second round once. We can do it again. Like, the curse is done, so we should see some more success. Of course, we go up against the Bruins, and there's no other way to face the Bruins than to lose in 7 games. So that's 2023-24. And then finally, we have last season, where we beat the Ottawa Senators. We almost choked that series. Well, that scared me a little. Up 3-0 in the series, and then ended up winning in 6. And then after taking a 2-0 lead in the series against Florida in the second round, we choked that once again and lose in 7 games. So that's 9, or that's, how many seasons is that? 7 seasons of the core four and pretty much no success. I would not consider, with the talent that you had on this roster, I would not consider second round exits a success. So then if we take a look at the Leafs prospects pool, nothing really stands out, right? You've got Easton Cowan, but you don't really consider him a prospect anymore because he's played a bunch. And he has been playing really well recently, so shout out to him. But then other than that, you've got like Miroslav Hlinka, who was a 5th-round pick in 2024. He's actually got 80 points in 59 games in the WHL with the Edmonton Oil Kings. So he's looking pretty good and exciting, but you just never know until you make the league. And see what you can do here, because it's just a completely different game. Then you've got Ben Danford, who was our 1st-round pick in 2024. He's a big right-handed defenseman who played very well, I think, for Canada at the World Juniors. But he's one of those prospects where, like, he doesn't generate as much excitement because he's not that big points kind of guy. He's a big, rugged defenseman, which, don't get me wrong, the Leafs desperately need that. But it's not someone you look at and you're like, That is our player for the future, because, you know, it's not really the type of player that you build a team around. But other than those two players that I just mentioned, like, there's not really a whole lot of hope for the future. It's kind of getting to the bottom of the barrel in terms of prospects, and that's why we're ranked 29th. But it's okay, right? Because, you know, the Leafs will just pick up someone in the first round this year, right, Matthew?
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking here. The Hockey Writers also have their prospect pool rankings out, and they do have the Leafs at 32nd, a very depleted pool, of course. And what's really interesting is when you actually look even at a list like The Athletic, which you pointed out, the Sabres are 13th, but there are other teams like the Red Wings, the Canadiens, who are up and coming in the Atlantic Division. I believe even the Ottawa Senators are on this list already. They're actually quite far down, but they're yet to release the top 9. I think 9th place gets revealed today in their sequential order of release for all of their rankings. But the fact that there's a lot of good young Atlantic Division teams that are in the top 10, well within the top 10, I think is even more concerning for the Leafs. And obviously, we'll eventually get to addressing Keith Pelley's press conference with MLSE, where he spoke about a number of Atlantic Division teams later on in the episode. But obviously, when you're in a contention window for as long as the Leafs were, or at least thought they were, especially in the Core Four era, when they were pouring so much money into four guys, they would consistently go out and be buyers at the deadline or buyers in free agency. And unfortunately, the price of that in the modern NHL isn't just draft picks. In some cases, it's also prospects that you already have. And so you can very quickly empty the farm system. When's the last time you remember the Marlies being a real contender for the Calder Cup?
Definitely, it was definitely pre-COVID. It's been a minute. It might have been like when Garrett Sparks was there running the net.
And what's crazy to me is even if there's years where the Marlies have made the playoffs, as a Canadiens fan, the Laval Rocket for the last 3 or 4 years, it feels like, have been a wagon in the AHL. And they haven't necessarily had the Canadiens cream of the crop prospects either. Some of them have been playing in Europe and Russia. So it's not necessarily been your Ivan Demidovs that are winning games for Laval. It's been other guys like Owen Beck or Jakub Dobesh who have come in and found their way in cases to the Canadiens roster because they've played so well down there. But if you look all in all at all of the Leafs prospects that they still have, obviously it's a lackluster group, and a lot of the guys they've given away, like I mentioned earlier, obviously a Fraser Minton is probably one that the Leafs are regretting to an extent.
Oh, 100%. And like you mentioned, there are so many Atlantic teams on that list ahead of Toronto. But not only are they ahead of Toronto on that list, but they're already ahead of them in the standings this year. So you usually look at teams with depleted prospect pools, and they're good teams right now because they've invested in the present. And it usually pays off for them. Like you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning, for a while, they were closer to the bottom of that list in terms of prospects pool, but they were winning cups. The Leafs never were, and they aren't now. So they're at the bottom of the standings, but they're also at the bottom of this list. And I think that's what pisses me off the most. But you would just look to this year's draft, and you're like, okay, great. We can replenish. Hopefully get a really good pick. We're at the bottom of the standings, so we're going to get a good pick, right? But no, because as you mentioned with the Fraser Minton trade, we don't have a first-round pick this year because we decided that we wanted to just give it away. Well, not give it away. We obviously got Brandon Carlo in return. But, you know, let's just look at that trade for a second because they traded away their first and one of their top prospects, if not their best prospect at the time, in Fraser Minton, who, by the way, is an absolute stud right now. He is playing great for Boston. They've traded him not only in conference, not only in division, which you never do, but to one of your biggest rivals. Like, come on, what are we doing here? So they traded all this away to get Brandon Carlo. Do you know when his last goal was, by the way?
I couldn't tell you. I know he's been injured a little bit this season, but I couldn't tell you the last time he scored.
Sure. He's been injured. Let's see. Was it at the beginning of the season? No. It was on October 14th of 2024.
For the Bruins.
He hasn't scored a goal with the Leafs.
Wow.
He hasn't scored a goal in like 534 days.
Wow.
And we traded away our best prospect, or one of them at least, and a first-round pick. And it's like, sure, it's top five protected. But then, like, going back to the point of lack of direction, like, we're not going towards the bottom five right now because we're still, like, kind of winning games here and there, but we're not good enough to make the playoffs. And Keith Pelley, in the press conference, he's like, yeah, we're not tanking for a bottom five pick. Well, then what are we doing here? But let's look at some of the trades that they've made in this Core 4 era. So back in 2019, they traded away a first-round pick and Sean Durzi, who was a pretty good defenseman, and he's played very well for the LA Kings. So they traded a first and Sean Durzi to the LA Kings for Jake Muzzin. Jake Muzzin, I honestly, that was probably one of the trades that I didn't mind. Because Jake Muzzin actually played well for us, and like he wasn't going to put up a bunch of points or anything, but he was solid defensively. He became a fan favorite, and he was just one of those like locker room guys that I think really brought the boys together, and probably he was a big reason for some of the success. I say some because there wasn't a lot of it that the Leafs had early in the Core 4 era. Then in 2021... we traded away a first-round pick to the Columbus Blue Jackets. So this was a part of the David Savard-Nick Foligno trade. Nick Foligno, first of all, he was injured for most of the regular season that he was here with the Leafs. And second of all, when he was in the lineup, he barely did anything. That one really pissed me off because I'm like, what are we doing here? A first for Nick Foligno? He's a great guy, a great captain. Not for the Leafs, but he was a great captain. But he's not first-round material.
And that's one for me where I think if you look at a guy like Jake Muzzin, if I were a Leafs fan, I couldn't complain. I think he was probably one of the better, if not the best, additions that the Leafs made besides John Tavares in the Austin Matthews era for the impact that he had on the team, as you said, defensively. But when you compare someone like him to the acquisition of Nick Foligno, when I think of Nick Foligno in a Leafs jersey, I think of him being good before he wore it. I think of him being good after he wore it in a Bruins jersey or a Blackhawks jersey for a season or two. But in a Leafs jersey, I just remember his fight against Corey Perry after the Tavares injury in the playoffs that a lot of people thought was unnecessary. And that's it. I mean, there goes a first round pick for a guy that you keep for a couple of months. You have arguably your worst playoff collapse of the whole era. And then he's gone to your biggest rival or second biggest rival in the Bruins, where he immediately starts to play better.
Then moving on in 2023, so at least in 2022, we took a little year off of giving away our first round picks. But then in 2023, we traded a 2025 first round pick to the Chicago Blackhawks for Jake McCabe and Sam Lafferty. So Sam Lafferty doesn't even play here anymore. Jake McCabe, he is in and out of the lineup this year with injuries. But in all fairness or in all honesty, Jake McCabe is another one of those guys where it's like not the worst trade. Preferably not a first round pick for him, but I look at that and I can see the gears turning and why we would look at a guy like Jake McCabe and be like, okay, this like a first round pick might be valid. But then in 2025, a couple things. So we traded our first round pick in 2025. Well, for the Brandon Carlo trades, which we mentioned before, but then also they traded their 2027 conditional first round pick for Scott Laughton. Scott Laughton just did not work out here at all.
Now, before we start to move on to maybe where there's light at the end of the tunnel, I know you want to speak about how the relationship is between the organization and the fans. Let's go back to last season, okay? Florida in the second round start out with a 2-0 series lead. And game one was 5-4. Game two was 4-3. So these were very Atlantic Division playoff style, mm-hmm. close games. And the Leafs looked really convincing in them. I don't think anyone can come away from those two games not thinking maybe this is the year. And as a fan of another team on the outside looking in, you always hear, oh, this is our year. The Leafs are going to do it this time. But there was a point last year where I was sitting back and thinking like, man, they're taking down the Panthers as we speak. And then, of course, all of a sudden in game three, the Leafs got an early lead, ended up losing 5-4 in overtime. I believe that was the Brad Marchand overtime goal.
Disgusting
goal. Which ended up swinging the series because they lost game four 2-0. Then game five, 6-1.
Yeah.
The Leafs all of a sudden down in a 3-2 hole. They go back to Sunrise, 2-0 win. And then, of course, it just had to happen this way. They come home for game seven in front of a sold out crowd and they duplicate their 6-1 defeat and they get booed off the ice. I mean, you can't say they didn't deserve it.
That's the thing. That Brad Marchand goal, like you mentioned, was so just depleting. I remember exactly where I was when I can remember the people around me, what we were saying. We could actually do it. If we take a 3-0 lead, I'm so confident. Like, I know the Leafs are known for choking, but 3-0, it's a really hard series to blow. And we ended up winning that one game 2-0. So if we win that game, whole series is different. And, like, we could honestly make a run at the Cup. I remember thinking that. And I remember my roommate, who I mentioned before, who is the Sens fan, like, even though we beat him, he's like, man, he was a little salty, but he's like, man, you guys are going to take down the Florida Panthers. And I remember speaking to him beforehand. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if you've got it. I don't know. Florida looks like they could go on another run to the finals. But I was like so confident that was the year.
And do you have a dream GM or coach in mind for the Leafs going forward?
I've heard rumors that potentially, if he's ready, Jason Spezza could be thought of as the GM. And he's just an incredible hockey mind. And I think as a player, he would definitely bring a different dynamic and a different thought process to the league or to the team. And I think he understands. Like a guy like Jason Spezza, a guy who's been through rebuilds, a guy who's been to the playoffs before as well, understands what it takes, and he'll hopefully implement it here.
And what one of the rumors I had been hearing was looking at a guy like Jim Nill, but obviously he's just re-signed with the Dallas Stars. But yeah. Jason Spezza, I've heard those rumors as well. Obviously, Doug Armstrong, once he's through his contract with the St. Louis Blues as an executive. And then also Rob Blake was another name that I heard, obviously the former GM of the LA Kings. What about the head coach? Do you think Berube has to go? And if so, who do you replace him with?
Do I think Berube has to go? Like, I think I'm in the minority when I say that Berube doesn't have to go. Because I think you look at the guys that we have now, and obviously I hope that there is a change, but even the younger guys like Easton Cowan and Matthew Nyes, they respect and like Craig Berube, and they're willing to play for him. And I like his style of coaching. That being said, now I know John Tortorella just went to Vegas, but like I would have loved to see a guy like John Tortorella behind the bench of the Leafs, because he in a way he's kind of similar to Craig Berube, where he's more of that hard-nosed coach. By the way, I do want to say like I'm curious to see how that works out with Marner and Tortorella, because obviously we know that Marner doesn't like tough coaches.
Yeah,
he liked Sheldon Keefe because like Sheldon Keefe was at times a hard coach, but he wasn't a John Tortorella or a Craig Berube who won't take no crap from nobody. So I think keeping Craig Berube wouldn't be the worst idea. And now I can obviously see why we would move on from him. But whoever is the next coach, I want them to almost be similar to Craig Berube, where you're not going to take like the disrespect from players, or yeah, you just won't take any crap from them.
And two other names that have been tossed around in the Leafs head coaching conversation, should they move on from Craig Berube, obviously Bruce Cassidy, who was just let go by the Vegas Golden Knights, and then Bruce Boudreau, who's been working at TSN in his absence from NHL coaching. Do you have confidence that the Leafs can make the right decision at GM and head coach if they move on from Craig Berube? I mean, obviously, it was the same MLSE office that decided Brad Treliving was the guy, despite a lot of critique around his Matthew Tkachuk trade.
Well, I think this past press conference just made me lose hope. That being said, Bruce Cassidy, I would love to see him. Or Bruce Boudreau, I love him. His personality is great. I like his press conferences. And obviously, he has a track record, too. Like, both of these guys, they have a track record.
Now, if it's your dream offseason, whether it's a coaching hire, a GM hire, trades, what are the three moves that the Leafs need to make?
Well, I think you need to start moving on from players. Like, at the end of the day, it's the players that play the game. I know the coaches are important. I know the GM is important because the GM is what makes the moves. Right. But at the end of the day, it's the players that play the game and they're not doing it well right now. And you need to make changes. So, like, as much as I love Matthews and Nylander, they need to go. Second of all, you definitely need to find a GM. And the Leafs have come out and said, we're going to find a GM before the draft. And of course, that's big, because as a GM, the draft is one of, if not the biggest day of the year. And especially for a team like the Leafs and the direction they're going, the draft is probably going to be the biggest day of the year, because you need to find a way, either through trade or through draft, to get younger and to look to the future instead of trying to this stupid retool that we've been talking about.
Now, what do we have in common with the Toronto Maple Leafs?
The Habs?
And no, the Leafs? Me and you personally.
Wait, what?
We're both off in April. So for the first time in 9 years, you're going to have an open calendar for April and the playoff months. You going to watch the playoffs? You going to get yourself behind another team?
I'll watch the playoffs. I won't cheer for a team, probably. If it gets to the finals and it's a Canadian team versus an American team, I'm going to cheer for the Canadian team. Maybe not. If it's the Habs, I don't know if I can do it. But, like, let's say the Edmonton Oilers, I'll probably be cheering for them if they make it. And they're looking really bad right now. But I think they will make it, obviously. And I'll probably be cheering for them just because I want to see a McDavid Cup. But I'll watch it. But I'll also be doing a lot of golfing. Austin Matthews, maybe I'll see you out on the links.
And with that being said, that'll wrap up our last podcast episode for the Too Many Men podcast. Remember, April 15th, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Spirit Live, we'll be having our hour-long live show. That'll be coming with just 2 days left in the regular season, with the majority of the playoff teams, specifically in the Atlantic Division, having already wrapped up their 82-game season. So we should have a pretty good idea of what that playoff picture will look like, and we could talk a lot more playoff hockey come then. Thanks again for joining us. Engage with us on social media, and we will see you on April 15th.